about it, but I must if you so will.
From Saturday the 4th to Sunday the 5th of May, Reveil will embark on its 11th loop around the sun. Reveil is a collaborative sound and radio project presented by the SoundCap Cooperative that circles the Earth on live audio streams at daybreak. Reveil will be mixed from a hub at Stavehill Ecological Park in South London and stations at Tartu, Sunshine Coast, Cagna, and additional locations to be announced. You can listen online on Resonance Extra, Waveform, and other participating stations. For more information, please visit soundted.org/Reveil.
And if I raise my hand in question, you just say that I'm a fool. 'Cause I got the gall to ask you, can you maybe change the rule?
Bob Seger expressed how not the soldiers, but the political system were the real problem. The Vietnam War fell closer and closer to home. As the casualty rate increased in Vietnam, conscription started to include college students who had previously been exempt. This meant more middle-class white Americans were being drafted and more parents were complaining. Draft inequality was a major talking point at that time, and Creedence Clearwater Revival addressed it in their song, Fortunate Son. This is what John Fogerty, the lead singer of Creedence Clearwater Revival, said about that song.
Now, you got to remember, way back in the 60s, I was drafted and went into the Army Reserves, which I was in for 3 years. Most young people in the late 60s were against the Vietnam War. And we were never really explained exactly why are we fighting this war. And I don't think anyone still knows, really. But when you specifically see some senator plucking his son out of the way of the draft, you know, that's just not fair. I mean, there's a sense of fairness about this that really upset me. And so that spurred on my motivation, you might say, to write the song.
In January of 1969, Richard Nixon became the new president of the United States. And in September of that same year, Ho Chi Minh, the father figure of the National Liberation Front and the living embodiment of the struggle against the Japanese, the French, the Saigon government, and the Americans, died.
Far away across the ocean, far beyond the sea's eastern rim, lives a man who is father of the Indo-Chinese people, and his name, it is Ho Chi Minh. Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh.
Ewan McCall, a Scottish folk musician, wrote The Ballad of Ho Chi Minh, one of the few songs written in English about the first president of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam.
40 men became 100. 100,000 and Ho Chi Minh forged and tempered the army of the Indo-Chinese people, freedom's army of Viet Minh. Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh.
Back in the U.S., Nixon promised to end the war while he was campaigning to become president.
I pledge to you, we shall have an honorable end to the war in Vietnam.
But once elected, he expanded the war into Cambodia and Laos. He ordered a secret bombing in Cambodia to destroy the Ho Chi Minh Trail and it was carried out without the knowledge of Congress or the public.
Twin soldiers and Nixon's coming, we're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming for dead in Ohio.
Cambodia is the Nixon Doctrine in its purest form. In Cambodia, what we are doing is helping the Cambodians to help themselves.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young wrote Ohio, a song about the Kent State shooting that happened during a rally opposing the expanding involvement of the Vietnam War into Cambodia by United States military forces.
Twin soldiers and Nixon's coming, we're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming for dead.
I spoke with David Crosby from The Byrds and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young before he died earlier this year, and this is what he told me about that era.
Music can communicate to you at a level of very little else in the world. Anti-war movement, very positive thing. The civil rights movement, totally positive thing. The women's rights movement, totally positive. These are huge steps forward. We were doing the right thing. We felt that we were behaving like decent human beings. We felt like we were, that our lives had some moral or ethical guidance to them. I don't think we were wrong. Music is a very, very, very fine tool for transmitting ideas. Really, really good. And all the other great writers, they all used music to express their values. You use music to say love is the right thing. It is the high point of the human experience. They used music to express the idea that we should be fair with each other.
The secrets of atrocities in Vietnam kept breaking in the press, shocking the U.S. public and leading to more demonstrations against the war. Especially after the New York Times published the Pentagon Papers in 1971.
I want to thank you, Daniel Ellsberg, for all the notes that came from you. I said I want to thank you, Daniel Ellsberg.
Daniel Ellsberg, who was immortalized in this song made by Blood Rock, was the military analyst who made the decision in 1971 to disclose a secret history of American lies and deceit in Vietnam. 7,000 pages of highly classified documents revealing how previous presidents exceeded their authority and lied to Congress and the American people. The pressure to bring an end to the war kept building. As a response, Nixon ordered a gradual reduction of the 540,000 troops in Vietnam.
Tonight, I can report that Vietnamization has succeeded. I am announcing an increase in the rate of American withdrawals.
Vietnam, 1972.
In 1972, the world saw a heartbreaking picture taken by the South Vietnamese photographer, Nick Ut.
I hate that picture so much because I was naked. I was a little child, girl. I was so ugly. I was so, you know, agony. And I didn't want to relate with that at all.
She lives in Trang Anh, where fire falls from the skies.
But now, of course, I love that picture, and I'm so thankful that picture became the powerful gift for me to work for peace.
A picture that once again showed the horrible consequences of the attacks with napalm. This time, the world saw the skin coming off the naked body of a 9-year-old girl who came to be known as the Napalm Girl. Eric Gertz wrote the song The Girl in the Picture, remembering her.
I took the train every day, and on the train I always bought the newspaper. And in there, there was this famous picture of Kim Fook, and they told her story. And what amazed me the most was what she did with her life afterwards, and not just staying a victim for the rest of her life, but taking her life in her hands and turning it positive by starting up an NGO that supports children of war all over the world. And that was really amazing to me, and I was really inspired by her positivism and her strength.
I was also inspired by Kim Fook's positivism when I spoke to her about her life journey. And during our interview, Eric and I surprised her. Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Kim!
Yes!
Hi, how are you?
Oh, my pleasure. Every time I listen to that song, I just really have a goosebump. And I love it. And even my tear coming out and just remind me where I come from, what happened to me. But I'm not just stay in the darkness forever. Mm. I have a strength. I'm just thankful.
I have a surprise for you, Kim.
Yes.
Yes. I have Eric with us.
Wow!
Hello, Kim.
Wonderful. Oh, wow. My brother. I never thought that someone wrote the song for me. You know, it's so happy for me as a little girl who suffered so much. And now somebody sing a song for me. Oh, that is so cool.
And the bonus is that we became really good friends. So that's a big bonus.
I love it. The girl in the picture. The girl in the picture. That is me. And she's running, always running. They call her the Napalm Girl. Saved by the click of a camera. She's the girl in the picture.
Many of the veterans never talked about their Vietnam War experience, even with their spouses and family members. But as the book We Gotta Get Out of This Place explains, a lot of them could talk about a song that helped them to connect to each other and to life back home to cope with the complexities of the war they had been sent to fight. Even though it was not inspired by the Vietnam War, We Gotta Get Out of This Place by The Animals was chosen as the most popular song among the American troops that fought in the Vietnam War. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Finally, in April 1975, President Gerald Ford ordered all U.S. troops and citizens out of Vietnam. And music had a leading role. Shortly before 11 a.m., the American Forces Radio Network began to broadcast a pre-recorded message. It said,
"The temperature in Saigon is 105 degrees and rising."
Followed by a 30-second excerpt from the song White Christmas by Bing Crosby.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
These signaled the start of Operation Frequent Wind, the emergency evacuation of Saigon. The music that emerged from this turbulent era continues to resonate in people's hearts and minds. These songs and their lyrics were the soundtrack of a generation.
We grew up in the 60s. We grew up with war on TV every night.
blind faith in your leaders or in anything will get you killed. Because what I'm talking about here is
als ik belde en steeds als ik schreef om aan jou te vragen waar je bleef, zei je mij dat je niet komen kon. Waarom was ik zo dom?
Yeah.
Ja, maar het is voorbij.
Ja,
ik voel
ja,
me vrij.
Ja,
want het is over now, maar ik kan. Steeds als ik bel en steeds als ik schreef om aan jou te vragen waar je bleef, zei je mij dat je niet komen kon. Waarom was ik zo dom?
Yeah.
Ja, maar het is voorbij.
Ja,
ik voel me vrij.
Ja,
het is over now, my reggae.
Ja,
het is over now, my reggae. Yeah.
Thank you.
In that Saiwani, the do Saiwani, I know you won't for me, you won't for no man broke me. In that Saiwani, the do Saiwani, I know you won't for me, you won't for no man broke me. Ma e fami de wani broko, broko me kakabao. Disamina wakakayo, disamina wakakai, disamina wakakayo. Uno sukufu broko mi e mama, na broko broko mi deo, anamina o broko moro. Na kontak mi broko teme mekbaka, anangamine de wako popular. Fade kalmine,
anangamine de wako popular.
Na eskende seke posta.
It was first broadcast in 2006. Translations were by Rita Wiseman and Nina Konagova, and the readers were Mark Lewis Jones, Stefan Griff, and Rita Wiseman. And just to say, you can hear extended interviews and read complete translations from the programme on the Radio 3 website. And there's more Shostakovich on Radio 3 in Essential Classics on Thursday morning with his Seventh Symphony, the Leningrad. Also, Shostakovich is featured in the final edition of Symphony on BBC Four. That's on Thursday evening at 9 p.m.
On Radio 3, four lunchtime concerts from Liverpool. Tasmin Little plays Bach and Kreisler. Wolfgang Holzmeier sings Dichterliebe. And there's chamber music from two very different string quartets, Radio 3 New Generation artists the Elias Quartet and one of the great chamber music institutions of America, the Fine Arts Quartet. I'm Louise Fryer. Join me Tuesday to Friday lunchtimes this week at 1 o'clock.
Well, now on BBC Radio 3 World Roots, Lucy Duran introduces highlights from a concert recorded last weekend at the London Jazz Festival.
Well, Iranian classical music isn't everyone's idea of jazz, but this concert in the London Jazz Festival has sold out the Purcell Room here on the South Bank. And maybe the spirit of improvisation and musical conversation in this music does have strong echoes in jazz. But what's important is that tonight we have two of the very top performers in the Iranian classical tradition. Kayhan Kalhor, the master of the Iranian spiked fiddle, the kamanche, and Majid Halaj, one of the best-known Iranian percussionists who plays the tumbak drum and also finger cymbals. They're accompanied by Ali Bahrami, who plays the santur, the hammer dulcimer, and by singer Hossein Ali Shapur. In a moment, I'll be talking with Kayhan Kalhor, and later on, we'll hear the full ensemble in an Iranian classical piece. First, here's a one-off duet for the unusual combination of bass santur and finger cymbals, played by Ali Bahrami and Majid Halaj.
Thank you.
That was an improvisation for the Iranian santur and finger cymbals played by Ali Bahrami and Majid Halaj here at the Purcell Room as part of the London Jazz Festival. And now I'm with one of the most celebrated of Iranian classical musicians, the kamanche player Kehan Kalhor. Kehan, you weren't featured in the music that we just heard, but
correct,
you had something to do with it because, as I understand it, that the bass santur is your idea, it's your creation.
Santur bass is a new instrument, relatively, but this is another version of it. You know, people are making different versions of it, bigger, smaller, and it's becoming popular. And
it's got a wonderful sound. It sounds,
it has,
almost,
yes,
if you close your eyes, it almost sounds like an old honky-tonk piano with a pedal,
correct,
off.
Yes, yes, exactly, yeah.
And but why create a bass santur?
Well, the ensemble playing in our culture is a young and new thing. So
is it really? I didn't
it
know
is.
That.
It goes back for almost 100 years, so that's young for us.
Okay.
I mean, comparing to, you know, how old the music is.
And before that, would have just been individual solo instruments?
Solo instruments or duos or vocal and an instrumental duo. But as an imitation to Western larger orchestras, you know, this notion of having an orchestra took place. Ensembles, orchestras. Nowadays, you can see as orchestras as big as, you know, 40, 50 piece. So wherever there is this new idea, there is more sound and there is need for more sound. So other instruments, a version of the same instrumental families that we have are being created. So santur bass is one of those, but we actually used santur bass as a solo instrument this time. So it's not my creation, but it was our idea to use this as a solo instrument or duo instrument. So we just started to carry this heavy and big instrument with us on tours. And, you know, it just adds to the trouble of the santur player, but it sounds wonderful.
Indeed it does. Yeah. So, I mean, I think of you as someone who's, on the one hand, really deeply rooted in this very old classical tradition, Iranian or Persian classical music tradition.
Thank you.
And yet at the same time, you're so involved in collaborations and...
I think whomever wants to start doing new things has to be rooted in tradition. You cannot create anything new without knowing the tradition and respecting tradition. We come from this very old musical culture that we learn to be soloists, and that's all. And, you know, it is a very old and powerful music by itself and the way it's presented. But, of course, in this century and next century, we need more ideas, more sounds. And I think this is the notion around the world. You know, classical musicians are doing it.
And
other
always
musicians
have been. Otherwise,
exactly,
the music dies, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly. The musicians are exchanging ideas.
How restrictive are the parameters of Iranian classical music?
In the classical music, you're very restricted.
You are.
You know, for example, one very prominent characteristic of this music is being closely associated with poetry, the Persian poetry. As you know, we cannot forget that. You know, we come from this really hugely respected, powerful poetry culture. And anything you do in our culture is associated with poetry, even speaking everyday language. You know, everybody has idioms from the old
really?
Poetries. Yes, and even...
So it's very widely known. Everybody in your...
And respected.
Culture knows it.
In every household, you have a Hafiz book or Sa'di or Rumi. You know, these are
old poets.
These are really old, yes. And then, you know, everybody knows them by heart. You know, they
read
them.
So would it be
them.
A bit like having Shakespeare, like quoting Shakespeare
exactly.
or something?
Exactly. So the music is heavily associated, the old music, with poetry and singing. So I think what we're trying to do as soloists, instrumentalists, we're trying to take some distance from that and develop a language that it stands on its own. And what you hear tonight is actually what I seldom do because it's a very traditional music.
So that's what we're going to hear now.
Exactly.
Which is going to be the quartet, the four musicians
correct.
Together.
This is the very traditional version of, you know, something that I never do these days. We have the traditional singer, traditional santur, and the material that we picked, we play four songs written in the golden time of Persian music, which is Qajar period.
What period is that?
It's late 19th century and early 20th century, before the Pahlavi dynasty. It's from Qajar dynasty, and these composers are really well known. I mean, some of them were alive until 40, 50 years ago. But this music is considered to be music of Qajar period, very, very classical Persian music. This is what you probably heard 100 years ago in a Persian court.
And what would the singer be actually singing? Will he also be
singing Sa'di,
poetry?
The poetry of Sa'di.
And what kinds of subjects? Is it love, romantic
all
love?
All love, 100%. You know, he's the love poet.
So what we're going to hear now is something that's really special because it's very, very classical from the golden era of Iranian classical music.
I don't know it's special for you, but it's very special for
me.
Well,
if it's special for you, it's special for all of us. It's special for the listeners.
Thanks. But this is something that I never do anymore. I used to do this a long time ago, after the revolution, with the ideas of going back to the classical music, because the singer we have, Mr. Ali Shapur, is a young singer, but he sounds really old. You know, he has that, this is his interest, to follow the music of that period, and he sings it really well. So we tried to, when I invited him to do this tour with me, this is what I had in mind. So, uncharacteristically, we're going to do a very classical section for the second half of the concert.
Thank you. ناپسندیده بود دل شکستم. رشته الفت و یاری گسستم، کی کنی ای پری ترک ستمگری، می فکری نداری آخر به چشم جان بارم در چنازه بر سرم گذر کنی از رحمتم ما را، اون زمان که برکشم راه غم سر